Last night, St. Luke, the wonderful narrative, the beautiful story. I trust you didn't do the genealogy yesterday. Much better Luke. Much better the story of Mary and Joseph and the donkey and going to Bethlehem and going into the manger and having the angels sing to the shepherds and coming to proclaim. How, what a wonderful, wonderful story. Today, pure poetry. And John really is a poetic theologian. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You can almost hear it. But like all poetry, you've got to dig into it and unpack it. I was going to initially unpack it, but I am convinced that the shortest route between the human heart and the divine is a story. So today I want to share with you one of my favorite stories. It was shared with, well, it's actually a homily I'm going to give today is a homily that my soul brother, Father Tom Soulars, gave many, many times at Christmas. It was one of his favorite, and he passed a few years ago, and his birthday was just on the 8th of December. So in honor of him, I want to share this wonderful story that he shared so many times, and that we both knew, because we both knew the priest who told the story. It was Father John Powell, who was the Jesuit who worked at Loyola University. And in the early 70s, and well, I think even today, I hope at least even today, one of the requirements of getting through a Catholic university, especially a Jesuit Catholic university, was taking a religion class. So all the freshmen had to take a class of religion, and of course John Powell's class was always the most full because he was such an incredible speaker. But there was one student who wouldn't buy it. Not a word that he said. His name was Tommy. He was the resident atheist. He had hair down to, well, you know, it was the 70s. It was down there. And Tommy was forever questioning the good Jesuit priest, whatever he said something, because he didn't believe a thing. He doubted and denied everything. And finally, on the day of the final examination, when he was handing in his blue book, in those days we all had blue books that we handed in, he turned to the priest and he said, Father, tell me, you think I'll ever find God? And the priest said, no, I don't think so. But here's one thing I'm sure of. God will find you. God is indeed that hound of heaven. In the divine conversation, it's always God who speaks first. But we cannot hear that wonderful voice of God that seeks us if we are closed. If our hearts are closed, if we are convinced that there is nothing outside of myself, my desires. And of course, in the individualistic world in which we live today, that is shown to us in spades. So we walked out of the class and snickered a little bit. 5 years later, Brother John heard that Tommy was sick. He didn't know how sick he was, but he knew that he was sick. And about a couple days after that, there was a knock on his office door. He opened the door, and before him was this gaunt young man, emaciated and clearly not well. He invited him in, and he said, Tommy, come in. I hear that you've been sick. He said, Father, it's worse than that. I'm not just sick. I'm dying. I've got lung cancer in both lungs, and it is metastasizing, and I don't know how much longer I've got to live. And I wanted to talk to you before that. John said, please talk. He said, do you remember when I was leaving your last class, how snarky I was when I threw that blue book on your desk and I said, "Do you think I'll ever find God?" And you said, "No," and then you said, "But I am sure that God will find you." And of course, he remembered. Of course, he remembered. He says, "Well, you know, I never looked until I got sick." You know, there's a saying, there are no atheists in foxholes, and there are no agnostics who are approaching, transitioning to the other side of dying. And when I realized how sick I was, I thought, it's time for me to start looking, to start searching, to start finding. He said, "Knock and you shall receive, seek and you shall find." I knocked, I sought. But the more I sought, the more I knocked, the deeper I looked, the further he was. I have never felt so abandoned in my life as I sought God, and God was not to be found. I was never so down or depressed in my life during this period. But then I remembered something else you said, and it stuck with me. You said the greatest, saddest thing in the entire world is to die and to have never loved. I did not want that, and I knew that I really had loved my family, and I knew that they loved me, but we never shared that information. We never talked about that. And so I knew that my new mission was to tell them what I felt, what was in my heart. I began with the hardest one, my father. My father was a good man, but he was a stoic. There's always a wall between us that we could never surmount. And every day when he would come home from work, he would hide himself in the newspaper and read. And this day I went into his room and I said, "Dad, can we talk?" And he said, "Uh-huh, yeah." I said, "Dad, it's really important." The newspaper went down just below his eyes. His eyes met mine, and mine met his. And I said, "Dad, I've got something I need to say to you. I want to say to you." His father was listening. "Dad, I've never told you this before. God, do I love you." The paper fell on the floor. His father got up, and for the first time in the boy's life, he embraced him and kissed him, and tears started coming down his eyes and his son's eyes. And he said, for the next 3 hours, we could not shut up. We kept on talking about things we've never talked about before, deep and profound conversations. It was just an amazing thing that was going on in our lives. And after I'd done that with my father, I went to my mother. It was exactly the same thing. My brother and my sister, the same thing. My friends, the same thing. The same thing. And then one day I turned around, and he was there. God was there. God was there. God found me. And I know I'm going to die, but I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I know that I will not die alone. I know that the mercy of the Father will be with me forever. And God's presence was manifest where? Where did he find the presence of God? Father Richard Rohr tells the story of the old recluse at Gethsemane when he was giving a retreat there one day, and as he was walking down the path, the recluse came out and he says, "I know who you are. You're Richard Rohr. You're the friar giving the monks a retreat." He says, "You get to speak to people. I don't get to speak to them. I want you to tell them. I want you to tell them. God is not up there. God is here. God is inside you. Seeking God up there in some ethereal ether is not the place we are to find the divine. Why? Because the divine has come down to take the divine's residence here in us. Our opening prayer says it all. It's the same prayer that we say when we mix the water and the wine and the chalice. Oh, you who humbled yourself to take on our humanity so that we now be able to share your divinity. He knew he was going to die, but it was okay because he saw the face of God. He saw the face of God in his father, in his mother, in his siblings, in his friends. God is not out there. He's here. He was able to transition in peace. Most of us know that our beloved sister Martha is preparing for her transition. She's preparing to see God face to face, but she's already seen the face of God. She saw the face of God every time she saw a baby come out of its mother's womb. Every time she midwifed and cared for the new life that was coming, she saw the face of God. She saw the face of God of the poor of Brazil whom she ministered to. Oh, the face of God is everywhere. God is not hidden. And if he is, he's hidden in plain sight. All we need to do is look around. The air is thick with God. The Divine One comes down to be with us so that we may now know the fullness of life, not when we die. We are not a funereal church. Now, when we live, Christmas is to be every day. The incarnation is to be a great reality. Incarnate. In the flesh, the divine, dwelling fully in the Christ, and we share that very same divinity. Oh, it really is a Christmas. May it be Christmas every day of our lives. Let us pray. And in lieu of the creed, why don't we renew our baptismal promises, because that's when we too plunged into the baptismal waters of death and came out regenerated with the newness of life, the life that goes on forever. So we begin with rejection, and then we end with embracing, accepting. Therefore, I ask you all, do you reject Satan? I do. In all his works,
I do.
In all his empty promises,
I do.
Do you believe a God who is a creator, who is a lover, pure, unadulterated love, no violence, no anger, no evil, only love? And love always creates. Do you believe in God who created the one we call Father? Do you believe in God the Father?
I do.
Do you believe in the fullness of time, the eternal Word, took on flesh and dwelt among us, the fullness of the divine, looking just like us, feeling what we feel, knowing what we knew, know? Do you believe in the one who has shown us the way to the fullness of life? His name is Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus the Christ?
I do.
And finally, do you believe that the Spirit, the divine Spirit, comes down and dwells in each and every one of us, and that we are called to be filled with that Holy Spirit? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I do.
This is our faith. This is the faith of the church. We are proud to profess it in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
Now let us open our hearts to receive God's grace as we present our prayers and our petitions.